this evening. We're thankful that we can come together and study again from God's Word together this evening. What an eventful morning we had here. We got to church and you probably, like me, were already concerned about some of our members, like Betty Sue and others. And then during class this morning, we got some news about Mark Stennett that he wasn't doing well. That concerned us. Others weren't doing well. Eddie Gooch's mom, not doing well. Many others of our number that we have, that we are concerned about, weren't doing good. And then we come into this auditorium, and it's cold. No heat. After services, Brother Guy told me, he said, you know, I don't know if we're going to get heat this afternoon, so you might want to think about preaching on something else. Maybe let's condense something that you've got, make it a little shorter, so that we won't be as uncomfortable for so long. I was going to preach this evening on Matthew chapter 22, the wedding feast, the parable there that's taught by Jesus. We're going to save that for another time. Tonight I'd like for us to consider something just for a few moments this evening together, something I think can be beneficial for all of us as we enter this week and every week, as we enter each day, something beneficial for us to think about. You know, as we were leaving this morning, I was thinking about the heat. And Daniel Helms and I went out the door at the same time. And I said to him, you know, come on, let's go outside. We're going to be able to see our breath when we go outside. We can almost see our breath inside. But every time I think about that situation where you go outside and you can see your breath, it makes me think about a very specific passage in our Bibles. The book of James talks about a vapor. I'd like for us to think about those passages for a few moments tonight. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. It says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And we've all experienced that. We've all gone outside on a cold morning and taken that first breath. And we see it come out. And we know how long it lasts. It quickly reaches the same temperature that is outside, and it vanishes away from where we can no longer see it. That's what James said our life equals. It equals that breath, that vapor that you see just for a moment. Let's think about a line. We'll call it a timeline. And on our timeline, as we as humans like to think, we like to be very specific about our timeline. We put marks on a line. It has a very specific beginning and end that represent our life. All along that line, other notches, other marks that represent accomplishments, things that happen that are important to us in our life. But is that it? Is that all that there is? Is that all there is to our timeline? The psalmist in Psalm chapter 90, verse 10 says, the days of our lives
are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. The psalmist says, this is life. 70 years, maybe 80 if we're strong. That timeline, as we think about it, it ends. That last mark, the end of life. Jesus tells us something different as He's speaking Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, verses 45 and 46. It says, "Then He will answer them, saying, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Jesus says, that timeline, it doesn't end. There may be a mark that represents our death. There may be a mark that represents the end of this life on earth as we know it. But that timeline keeps going. So let's think about our line again. Except this time, we're not going to put any marks on it. We just want to think about what it represents. Let's think about this line. Except instead of it just being here on the screen, let's think about it never ending. Let's think about this line going all the way around this enormous auditorium that we're in. And that's not the end of it. It goes around again and again and again. This line never ends. And that's our soul's existence. So often we get caught up in that little bitty time at the beginning of our line. And we worry about all the little marks that we're going to make on our line. All the important things that we're going to do in our life. And this line is short. That part of the line, it's very short. This line goes on forever. Our soul will exist forever. And all we worry about is that little bitty part at the beginning. What are we living our lives for? What are we trying to accomplish? Are we trying to get as many marks at the beginning of our line as we possibly can? We trying to achieve something great in this life? Or are we living for the rest of the line? For the part of the line that goes into eternity. That's what God wants us to live for. He wants us to live for eternity. He wants us to live our lives so that we can spend eternity with Him. First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19. Paul there says, "Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Paul tells the Corinthians, what do you have faith in? Do you believe that Christ lived? Do you believe that He died on the cross? Do you believe that He was raised from the dead? Because if He didn't, what are you living for? If you don't believe, anything that you have faith in is worthless. But we know. We believe. We believe that Christ died on that cross. We believe that He rose from the dead. We remember that sacrifice every first day of the week because we believe it. And it's because of that belief we can be saved. We can have forgiveness of our sins because Christ made that sacrifice for us. We need to have the attitude that David had. Psalm chapter 51. David there is talking about the horrific sins that he has committed. The things that he has done. The great evil that he has committed against God. And this is what he says to God. Verse 10 there, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Clean me. Make me pure. It's the same attitude that we should have. You go down a few verses there, to verse 12, and David continues there saying this, verses 12 through 15. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Have we ever said anything like that? At first you might say, no, I've never really said anything like that. But then when we think about it, we probably have. You've probably been at some point in your life where you feel like you have come to the end of a road. And you have nowhere else to turn but to God when we should have turned to Him to begin with. And maybe you pray, God, please, help me overcome this. Help my friend, help my brother, help my mother or my father. And if you do, you ever had those thoughts in your head? Have you ever said that to God? If you do this one thing, I'll never turn away from you again. I'll never sin again. I'll be the type of person that you want me to be always. Your name will always be on my lips. I'll tell everyone of the greatness that you have done. Have we ever told God that? Expect God to hold up His end of the deal. Do we hold up ours? Do we tell others about Him? Do we have the attitude that David had? Maybe we have the attitude that Pharaoh had. Pharaoh decided that one more night with the frogs, that was okay. We go back to the book of Exodus. And there we find the children of Israel. Moses is trying to lead them out of Egypt. God is bringing the plagues upon the Egyptians. And the second plague there that is brought amongst the Egyptians is that of the frogs. And these frogs are everywhere. I can't imagine. I can't imagine what that must have been like. Moses meets with Pharaoh. And he tells him, I can remove the frogs. I can have God remove these frogs. Exodus chapter 8, verses 8 through 10. It says, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that He may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying, when I shall intercede for you, for your servants, and for your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only. So he said, tomorrow. You ever thought about what Pharaoh was saying? These frogs are everywhere. Every place that you can imagine, there is frogs. And Pharaoh says, one more night's fine. We can deal with them a little bit longer. What about us? What frogs do we have in our life? What is it that we let separate us from God? What sin do we let come between us and God? What thing do we have in our life that we need to make correction of, that we need to repent of? And we say, one more day. Maybe tomorrow. I've never become a Christian. I believe, but I'll just wait. I know I shouldn't be committing this sin. I know that this is separating me from God, but I'll put it off. A more convenient time will come. We'll keep the frogs one more day. We have a choice. The choice is ours. Joshua 24, verse 15. A very popular verse says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have a choice. Who will we serve? Who will we obey? Will we let sin come between us and God? Will we continue to let those things separate us? We have a choice. James said, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Do we have sin in our lives? Do we need to make correction of it? Life's short. It's just a vapor that is here for a short time and then vanishes away. Eternity is forever. Are you here this evening? You have sin in your life that you need to make public correction of. If we can assist you, we would invite you at this time to come. If you've never been baptized and wish to, for the forgiveness of your sins, we invite you as well, while together we stand and while we sing.